As we continue our character studies from the Bible, let us look at the Apostle Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, starting at verse 9, going on to verse 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now, it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of God. Matthew means gift of the Lord. Matthew was a brother of James the Less, and they were sons of Alphaeus, of the priestly tribe of Levi. Matthew was a customs officer in Capernaum, in the territory ruled by Herod Antipas. He belonged to the class of bureaucrats called portatores, serving under the publicani, or the publicans, who collected the taxes for the Romans. After Jesus had called Andrew, Peter, James and John, who also came from Capernaum, Jesus confronted Matthew as he sat at the customs office at the gate of Capernaum. "Follow me." Matthew stood up and followed Christ. The first thing that Matthew arranged after responding to Christ's call to follow him was to invite all of his friends and associates to a meal in his home to meet Christ. When the Lord was criticized for associating with tax collectors and sinners, he responded, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Although the tax collectors were most despised by the Jews, as corrupt and as collaborators with the hated Romans, tax collectors such as Matthew and Zacchaeus responded readily to the message of Christ. It would appear that Matthew was the best educated of the 12 apostles. He certainly proved to be a gifted writer, a faithful disciple, and a most effective missionary of the Lord Jesus Christ. The early church father Irenaeus wrote that Matthew proclaimed the gospel amongst the Hebrews in Palestine and abroad. Clement of Alexandria wrote that Matthew devoted 15 years to reaching the Hebrews and the next 15 years of his life to ministering to the Greeks of Macedonia, the Syrians, the Persians, the Egyptians, and finally to the Ethiopians, amongst whom he was martyred for Christ. Augustine observed that Matthew was the only one of the apostles who wrote his gospel in Hebrew. All the other gospel writers wrote in Greek. Eusebius recorded that Matthew had initially composed the gospel in Aramaic and then in Hebrew. Later it was translated into Greek. The gospel of Matthew clearly shows that Jesus Christ is the King and Messiah of Israel. More than any other gospel, Matthew emphasizes how Christ is the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies of the Old Covenant. Matthew quotes from the Old Testament passages more than 60 times. He constantly refers to Christ as the Son of David. In Matthew's Gospel, we read the signature phrase, "the kingdom of heaven," 32 times. This unique phrase, "the kingdom of heaven," occurs nowhere else in all of Scripture. Whereas the other Gospel writers refer to the kingdom of God, Matthew is very careful to honor the name of God by rather indirectly referring to him, saying, "the kingdom of heaven." The opening genealogy documents Jesus Christ's credentials as the descendant of King David, the promised Messiah, the prophesied one, Israel's true king in fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. Matthew records 5 major teachings of Christ. There's the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 to 7. There's the commissioning of the apostles in chapter 10. There's the parables of the kingdom in chapter 13. The childlikeness of the believer in chapter 18. And the discourse on the Lord's judgment of Jerusalem and the nations in chapters 24 and chapters 25. Each discourse ends with a variation of the phrase, "when Jesus had ended these sayings." So this is a pattern signifying a new teaching section. Many commentators have seen a parallel between these five sections in Matthew's Gospel and the five books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. As Mark primarily wrote for the Romans and emphasized the actions and the miracles of Christ, and as Luke primarily wrote for the Greeks, emphasizing more than all the others the teachings of Christ, so Matthew primarily wrote for the Hebrews, emphasizing Christ's fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. John's Gospel was primarily written for Christians who had already studied the previous three Gospels. So John's Gospel presupposes one's familiarity with essential details found in the Synoptic Gospels. For example, John never refers to the birth of Christ nor to his ascension. More than any other of the Gospel writers, Matthew emphasizes the conflict between Christ and the religious leaders of Israel. The clash between Christ and the Pharisees reoccurs throughout the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew also mentions the Sadducees more than any other Gospel writer. The rejection of the Messiah by Israel and by the religious leaders is a constant theme throughout the Gospel. In no other Gospel are the attacks against Jesus portrayed as strongly as here in Matthew's Gospel. However, it is interesting to note that Matthew does not include the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, even though that parable would have placed him in a favorable light and further exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. For example, in Luke 18 we read this: "Also Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' 'I tell you,' Jesus said, 'this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" Now that parable of the Pharisee and tax collector is found in Luke 18, but it's not found anywhere in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel also includes events in the life of Christ that are unique to this Gospel and not found in any of the other Gospel writings. For example, Joseph's dream, the visit of the wise men, the flight of the Holy Family into Egypt to escape from the murderous King Herod, the murder of the baby boys in Bethlehem by King Herod's orders, the Apostle Peter walking on the water, the dream of the wife of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, warning him not to condemn this innocent man, the appearance of resurrected saints at the time of the crucifixion, the soldiers posted to guard the tomb, the earthquake, the bribing of the soldiers, the Great Commission, in addition to of the miracles which we only find in the Gospel of Matthew are the two blind men healed and the tax money found in the mouth of a fish. So these are all activities and events which you only find in Matthew's Gospel. And some of the parables which we only find in the Gospel of Matthew include the parable of the weeds sown amongst the wheat, the hidden treasure, the parable of great price, the dragnet, the parable of the unforgiving servant, the workers in the vineyard, the parable of the two sons, the one who said that he would obey but didn't, and the other said that he wouldn't obey but did. The parable of the wedding feast, the wise and the foolish virgins, only half of whom were ready when the bridegroom came. The parable of the talents, and the teaching about the great day of judgment when the Lord will judge as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. All of these parables you only find in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel teaches that God is good, holy, long-suffering, perfect, powerful, sovereign, incomparable, wise, and a God of wrath and justice. From the flight into Egypt to Christ's crucifixion, Matthew portrays most vividly the rejection of Christ. Yet Matthew portrays him as the victorious king who will one day return on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. Matthew's evident literacy and his former experience as an official were well used by the Lord to prepare him for his missionary work on three continents. There are reports of Matthew's ministry amongst the Greeks in Macedonia, amongst the Parthians in Syria and Persia. The Apostle Matthew is also reported to have raised the son of the king of Egypt from the dead and healed his daughter from leprosy. The princess Iphigenia then headed a community of virgins dedicated to serving the Lord, and when a wicked heathen king threatened to destroy her ministry, he was struck with leprosy and his palace destroyed by fire. Matthew later traveled to the land of Aksum, later to become known as Abyssinian, today it's known as Ethiopia. And there, in Aksum, he found many of the Ethiopians prepared for the gospel by their knowledge of the law of Moses and the Old Covenant. Since the time of the Queen of Sheba, for 1,000 years, they had been followers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the land of Aksum. And many of these Abyssinian followers of the law of Moses readily accepted Matthew's testimony that Jesus was the Messiah, the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies. After firmly establishing the church in Abyssinia, Matthew was speared and beheaded, reportedly in the year 60 AD, in Nadarba, Aksum, what later became Abyssinia and what today is called Ethiopia. The Christians in Ethiopia honor Matthew as the founder of the church in their land. Matthew's gospel records Christ's parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The Apostle Matthew is an example of one who did just that. He discovered in the teachings of Christ treasure, for which he gladly abandoned all of his prosperity and privileges for that treasure. Matthew found in our Lord Jesus Christ the pearl of great price. Matthew forsook everything. He gave up everything. He wholeheartedly followed Christ, serving him vigorously and effectively as a missionary to Macedonia, Persia, Syria, Egypt, and ultimately to Ethiopia. Matthew held nothing back. He gave up everything. He was fully surrendered and wholeheartedly committed to Christ. Are you wholeheartedly committed to Christ? Have you discovered the great treasure in God's word for which you would gladly give up everything the world has to offer? Have you found the pearl of great price? Are you living wholeheartedly for Christ? Are you introducing your friends to the greatest man ever lived and to the greatest book ever written? The Lord Jesus taught, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age." Let us pray. Lord God, we want to thank and praise you for the life of the Apostle Matthew. We thank you, Lord God, for this faithful disciple, this gifted writer, this effective missionary. We praise you, Lord God, for his faithful testimony, for his martyrdom, that he held nothing back and gave up everything. Lord, we pray that you may grant that something of the faith and the dedication of Matthew would be captured and practiced by ourselves. Lord, that we would also be fully surrendered and wholeheartedly committed to you. We pray, Lord God, that you may enable us to discover the great treasure in your word, that we would find the pearl of great price as Matthew did. Lord, help us to introduce our friends to you and to your book, to your will and to your work. We thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for the inspiration, for the examples, for the tremendous power that we find in your word. And we ask, Lord God, that this very week you would enable us to follow you, just as Matthew did, and to be fishers of men. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.